Good evening. It is like almost 7 p.m., February the 2nd, 2016, and it is Groundhog's Day. And I guess Punxsutawney Phil, or whatever the fuck they call that rat, that fucking groundhog, I guess it didn't see its shadow, or did, or but it basically said that springtime is coming soon. That winter is almost over. And I think that's good news. And in the context of the whole, you know, Groundhog Day and its meaning in pop culture and the whole notion of eternal recurrence and revisiting those things from the past in repeated ways, cycles and whatnot, I'd like to revisit an issue that I've talked about in the past, and I think that it's worth talking about again, especially in light of some of my my ire of late regarding bankers and like the banking industry. And I'd like to clarify a few things. One, I don't think or believe, I mean, I know I said this, but on a basic kind of level, I don't think that if a person works for a bank, they're evil. I mean, I basically, you know, I said something to the effect that it's kind of like being a Nazi, and maybe that was a little unfair. Truthfully, I think that the industry itself is so deeply flawed and has caused so much harm that if you work in the industry, you should be doing everything you can, no matter what level you're at. I mean, I don't care if you're a low-level flunky, and you know what I was just doing. I don't care if you're a low-level flunky or a fucking VP. If you have a soul, if you have a heart, you should be an ombudsman, essentially. You should be a defender, a detached defender of the public interest as well. I am in my job. I don't fucking leave my brain at the door. I actually follow Deming's dictum. Bring your brain in the door. You know, apply your intelligence to your job. And that includes your conscience. And that includes ethics. I know I've talked myself, frankly, I've talked other people asleep about the whole Microsoft amalgam mess at the University of Washington. And frankly, that doesn't really compare to the worst examples of all the corporate stupidity and greed and malfeasance and corruption. It really doesn't compare to much of that at all. So you need to have a heart and a soul. But here's the thing. I was kind of hard on the bankers, in a sense. Because there's another rule I try to follow, and that is these days you need to be compassionate as well. You know, I have a theory of history I follow. I have a view of the world. From my perspective, the human race has reached the hangover phase of one of the most amazing parties in human history. It was called the fossil fuel party, and you can call it the abiotic fuel party if you want to. And it was an amazing party. And the truth is, we're at the bottom of the barrel. We've scraped so far to the bottom that if oil is too cheap, we can't scrape any longer, a.k.a. fracking, a.k.a. oil sands. We're so at the bottom of the barrel that if oil gets too cheap, the scraping stops. Now, if you don't understand what I just said, you need to wake up and fucking clear out your ears, because that's how I see the world. And if you see the world that way, then you should be compassionate, because most people are told, you know, whether it's the fucking abiotic bullshit or the fucking, you know, infinite fracking bullshit, most people are told a story that we'll never run out of oil, that there's an infinite amount of oil. In fact, they're told the climate change global warming story, because truthfully, if there was no limit on the amount of oil we had, then I have no doubt that humans, with all their fucking obsession with stuff, just like any living thing, you know, just like any living thing, so let's not beat up on ourselves, just like any living thing, we would eat, fuck, and sleep ourselves into the billions and billions and light our hair on fire. I mean, we just wouldn't stop. We talk about stuff like that, but truthfully, it wouldn't happen. It's like the idiot that buys a Prius and says, oh, well, Dan, I drive a Prius. Well, dude, you drive a car that technically costs way too much money to build in economic terms if you want to compare it to the comparable efficient, you know, fossil fuel burning car. But what's worse, dude, is that all you've really done is change the basic mechanics. You're so fucking stupid. All you've really done is spread out the number of cars that can be used in an optimum way to use up what's left of the fucking oil. So yeah, maybe you have bought a Prius. Well, guess what? There are going to be a billion people in fucking China who will want to buy a fucking Prius too. And I hate to break it to you, but if that happens, it won't fucking matter how good the fucking gas mileage is. It really, really won't. So when you're thinking about the world, and if you believe the things I believe, and you believe we're on, you know, Hubbard's Rocky Plateau, and you would expect to have these cycles of price collapse and price spike for oil. In fact, it's the telltale sign. In fact, really, the low oil price does imply, whether we like it or not, that there will be an oil price spike again. It's inevitable, because there will be some kind of economic recovery, either real or manufactured. You know, I have no doubt that even the Federal Reserve will get back into the money printing game probably by the summer. So you're going to see everybody printing money, and you're going to see oil prices start to spike. And people will say, oh, well, then maybe peak oil was right, and people will fucking miss the point. We're on Hubbert's Rocky Plateau. We are literally on the peak, but the peak is not a smooth surface. The peak is a fucking sine wave where you keep hitting your head up against a ceiling called the price of fuel, price of energy. The bottom line is, the more expensive the cost of energy, the less you use of it, which means your economy is impacted. Your economy is impacted, you use less, the price collapses. And that basically keeps going until you reach the point where there just simply are fewer and fewer places that will produce at any price, irrespective of the price. Now, this is a long-winded conversation to talk about compassion towards bankers, but my point is really the same. If you see the world a certain way, then you kind of have to accept the possibility that there are people who, frankly, are looking at the world from the perspective of moms and dads. And really, if you want to talk about the political class of any society, the core political class of most societies has always been mothers and fathers. You single people may not want to believe it, and I feel so sorry for you. But the truth is, it's moms and dads that make the core of the political class, no matter how rich or poor you are. And the fact is, that tends to be a rather conservative group of people, extremely risk averse. You know, nobody in that group of people wants to be told that the U.S. dollar might be worthless one day. What they want to be told is, oh yeah, the U.S. dollar is really strong right now, so that basically means everything's okay. People want to be lied to. You know, it's easy enough to beat up on bankers and lawyers and all sorts of people because we think that they're liars, like their institution is filled with liars. And there might be some truth to that. Who knows? But the fact is, there's two sides to the lying equation. There's the person doing the lying and the person being lied to. And the person being lied to isn't really without fault. It takes an effort to be that ignorant. It takes an effort to allow yourself to accept these incredibly insane ideas. If you look at the current real estate world, you know, the banking world, and you believe their nonsense, if you believe that these, you know, credit default swap schemes are anything other than a modern-day tontine, and they really are the ultimate modern-day tontine, if you don't see them for what they are, and that is fraud, then I think you're living the life you need to live because you need to lie to yourself, and you know that's okay. So to the bankers and the lawyers and all the people out there that I guess I'm often very mean to or towards or about, you know what? I'm sorry, because you just don't get it. You don't get how narrow the margin is between your life, the normal life you think you're living, and the incredibly insane life that could be right around the fucking corner. So I'm sorry for being so mean.